Yeah, so basically, that, you know, and that's a letter I've seen written for some of the vets that I've worked with down here that are Vietnam vets, almost the same wording. So you had all that documentation, and they were still just pushing you off to the side.
They still denied me.
How many times did you get denied, do you think?
Well, I was denied, then I had a de novo review, and then they were working on sending my case to Washington, and then that's when Jeff picked it up.
Now, I'm going to ask you, in your personal opinion, what do you think they need to do with the VA system right now in regards to both the returning vets with PTSD and to take care of the guys that are in the system already?
What I think they need to do?
Yeah.
Well, number one, I think they should have a congressional investigation on the way that the VA is being operated. Just to the fact that it seems like it's almost by design, what they're doing is bottlenecking the system. In which, you know, you think about it, you've got 52 states with 52 regional offices, VA regional offices.
Right.
If I'm mistaken. Well, they deny, and, you know, you first make your claim, they deny you. You claim a de novo review, they deny you. Then they send your stuff to Washington, D.C. to go before a judge. Well, one office in Washington, D.C. handles all of these. It's bottlenecking it. All these cases that come from all these regional offices into one office in Washington, D.C. And what does that do? That backlogs it. It bottlenecks it. It creates a clog in the system. Now, surely with the evidence that I just read you, I mean, is there anything that there that can be disputed?
Nothing I would see that could be disputed, and I actually have I have been doing a lot of advocacy with the guys that are trying to get benefits, and that is something I would love to present down here. That what you just read me is 100%. By the paperwork I'm looking at right now, that automatically qualifies you for 100%, or at least 50% with 100% guaranteed after review.
Well, here's another one. This is a buddy statement. It's entitled, Whom It May Concern. This is September 04. I don't remember when it happened, but we were in a convoy with 1123rd Transportation on the way to Camp Dogwood, Iraq. The convoy commander took a wrong turn in one of the cities. The convoy came to a stop. While the convoy that made the wrong turn returned, while we were stopped, a bus or van blew up behind us, blew about one block from us. Something like that. It's a handwritten statement. Iraqis were saying go home or die with AK-47s in their cars. Some had weapons, some didn't. But it happened. Now, that's a buddy statement. You know, that's me after coming home having to lift up somebody that was in the same convoy with me and say, hey, can you sit down and write a statement for me? Because a letter from my unit's not adequate enough, and a letter from my, you know, doctor isn't adequate enough. I need you to sit down and write a statement. What's he kick that out to?
That's just asinine. You know, and now with that, what in the end, you know, I mean, with this whole VA system, do you think like they need to have more input from the vets of Iraq? Like the vet centers need to be run by some of the Iraqi war veterans and stuff? Because I mean, they're still using the Vietnam veteran counselors right now.
Well, what needs to happen is that whoever, okay, number one, there's too many things going on here for it to be blamed on untrained people, inadequately educated people. People just don't know what to do, so they deny. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, that excuse might work for the Vietnam-era veterans, people who basically broken the whole PTSD thing, you know, which a lot of Vietnam veterans said, you know, when I come home from Vietnam, they didn't know what PTSD was, never heard of it. But, you know, they're blaming it on from people that aren't capable of understanding the system and what's going on. You know, they're not trained, they don't know what they're doing, they're learning, they're getting trained.
Right.
And it's not that. This is a design. You know, it's like when you go to the doctor, it's like, you know, I've talked to other soldiers that's come home, that's been diagnosed with personality disorder. And I told him, I said, you know, if you feel like you're going to, you know, lose it, get in the hospital. And matter of fact, there's one guy that was in very bad shape. His name was, I believe his name was Jay Shaw. He was out of Reno, Nevada. He got back. He was having some type of severe mental problems. And he told me, he called me up crying one day and said, man, I don't know what to do. He said, man, I snapped out of something the other day, and I was wearing my desert fatigues and my uniform, and I was back in Iraq for I don't know how long. I told him, I said, man, leave the alcohol alone, get in the hospital. Go to the hospital, you know. And, you know, he's like going through the same problem I went through, you know. And it's by design. He said, he got out of the hospital and he called me. He said, you know, they did everything but tell me I had PTSD, you know. How do you explain the nightmares, the flashbacks, and the lack of sleeping, and all the things that are, if you look up PTSD on your computer, or go to the library and look up a book, you know, you can sit there and basically self-diagnose yourself and say, yeah, I experienced that. Yeah, I experienced this. Yeah, exactly, that's what I'm going through. But yet, when you go to the hospital, the doctor, you know, even if it's PTSD, they look at you like, we ain't telling you that.
Oh, no,
they have got some type of hidden agenda from the administration telling them, do not diagnose PTSD.
I can tell you from people that I know inside the VA, and these are people that are working, you know, and I have to say this, I know a lot of people who are valiantly fighting right now inside the hospital, and they're completely overwhelmed by the caseload. And they're the ones that they're blaming on for the incompetence. And we're talking about people that have been there 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
There's no way there are nurses right now I'm speaking to who have quit because they will not stand around the hospital and deny a Vietnam veteran when an Iraqi veteran walks in. Because that's the top of the line now. Iraq goes first now when you walk in the door. Vietnam vets went to the back of the line again, and the thing is, you know, with these people, they're overwhelmed. And when I go out there and I work with some of these people that are homeless here, and it's, you know, they're Vietnam vets, they're fully qualified, they have PTSD, they're not even getting diagnosed, and it's 30 years later.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something. I asked you this before, but, I mean, you've been seeing a lot of people who served in Iraq coming in for treatment. Is that correct?
Well, I'm hearing about them. I'm not seeing them at the hospital, but I'm with the IWBO, and, you know, I've been in contact with several. Matter of fact, I put an email out to IWBO, and within the first 2 hours, I got 18 hits, and that was with people who are still actively serving, and with people who are basically in the same shape that I've been in. You know, talking about being diagnosed with PTSD and, you know, the government's kind of sidestepping it one way or another.
Yeah, and that has been common. I don't know if you're aware they have the discussion board on MSN, the Iraq War Vets Discussion Board, and a major discussion on that is the PTSD, and it's like 80% of the people on there end up figuring out, even if they didn't know it, they got PTSD now. You know, I started this whole request for interviews through Russ and IBWO. I actually put the request out through them, and, you know, it's been a trickle since then, but, you know, the thing that overwhelms me is how many guys I hear about from other guys. You know, they know of 20 guys. Another guy knows of 30 guys, you know.